Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Good morning. It's Friday. Today's the day. Friday, June 8th, 159th day of the year. And you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Neil Stavem. Nice to have you along. Sitting in here today. We've got a great hour ahead. We'll spend some time hearing from Pastor Greg Laurie a little bit later this hour. Of course, you hear him every day on A New Beginning at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. And great teaching and, of course, encouragement. Greg is going to be leading a significant event this weekend in Arlington, Texas. We'll talk about Harvest America coming up in a little bit. Also, check out some of the top news stories with Carmen LaBerge. We'll get to that in a few minutes. On the 8th of June, the year 1786, commercial ice cream was manufactured for the first time in New York City. What do you think, Logan? That would have been a good day.
Yeah, that was the downfall of my perfect summer body.
I just had some ice cream late last night and thinking, you know, if we shouldn't eat at night, why do they put a light in the fridge? That's the question. A couple other things, occurrences on this date and things that have made our life better. 1824, the washing machine was patented. In 1869, Ives McGaffey of Chicago patented the suction vacuum. In 1936, the first parking meter was invented. So two out of three.
Yeah.
Two out of three things that have helped make our life a little better. So there's something coming up here on us on June 12th, obviously. A lot of attention for that day because that's the scheduled time for a summit between the U.S. and North Korea. And Open Doors USA is hosting an online prayer summit for Christians who wish to get together in prayer and hear about the persecution of believers in North Korea. And they say anyone can join in with believers around the world asking God for God's blessing to be poured out on that meeting. That's an online prayer summit, Open Doors, something to look forward to. And this happened in the news just the other day. A Central Florida neighborhood is rid of an alligator that has been wandering around for some time, but the animal knocked out the man who hauled it away. It happened late last month in an Orlando suburb. Video shows a Florida Fish and Wildlife trapper loading the 8-foot gator into the back of a pickup truck with the help from police officers. The gator's mouth and legs were bound, but it managed to whip its head around and headbutted the trapper, knocking him unconscious.
Wow.
You know, it just reminded me, some days you can just do everything right and you're still got the chance to get a knockout punch.
There's a Florida Gators joke in there somewhere.
Wow. Well, I don't know. Hopefully, even if you've done everything right today, know that there's always that opportunity to get banged around a little bit. But how about a good word from Psalm 46? A familiar word. And with that, we'll go to break. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. We can be confident God is our refuge and strength. It's Faith Radio Mornings, and it's time once again to reconnect with Carmen. You hear Carmen LaBerge every day at noon central on Connecting Faith here on Faith Radio. But on Friday mornings, we have the opportunity to make a early morning connection, just kind of review some of the stories of the day or the week. Carmen, good morning first. Good to talk with you.
Good morning, Neil.
All right, so we should talk a little bit about pardons. That I'm just reading some things that maybe that's the president's new interest. And, of course, there was just a pardon the other day, and Kim Kardashian had a part in it. And Stephen Colbert suggested that now this is becoming the new reality show process where the president pardons. And you know, what do we think of the commutation of criminal sentences?
Well, I think that this is a good opportunity for Christians to begin becoming educated, if they're not already, about the problems that do exist in our criminal justice system and the challenges that we face and the reform that is needed. So that's a whole conversation that we really need to be actively engaging in as Christians who believe genuinely in justice, but who also believe in second chances and rehabilitation. And so those, I think, are really big conversations, Neil, that we need to be having in our churches and as a culture and at the policy level. But when it comes right down to it, you know, what we're talking about is a woman named Alice Johnson, whose sentence the president commuted, which means, you know, she does not have to serve her entire sentence. And it's certainly a story of joy and reunion and second chance. And Kim Kardashian was the person who personally advocated with the president for the release of this particular individual. But this is not the only only way that the president has engaged lately in looking at cases of individuals who were unjustly accused or whose sentences needed to be reduced at a minimum. The other larger conversation is the conversation about pardon, and that's probably the one that's captivating the news cycle in terms of the conversation about the president. If he were to be charged with and ultimately convicted of some kind of crime, he's already said that he would pardon himself, and that's the conversation that's a pretty interesting one.
Well, yes, and I guess, you know, you first heard that and you thought, oh, no, come on, not really. And maybe that was just Rudy Giuliani kind of talking as he does sort of extemporaneously and dangerously, it seems, when he gets off script. But yeah, that's how do we even make sense of that whole idea?
Well, I think that is a legitimate question. So if you are to believe what is being suggested, then there is the conversation about a presidential pardon of the president himself, and the sort of extreme possibility of whether or not a president could self-pardon. And there are answers to that question pretty much from every side. So if the idea of a self-pardon doesn't offend your American ideals, it certainly will offend your Christian ideals, because we are not self-made, we are not made self-righteous, and we are certainly not self-saved. Or as my baking friends would say, we're not self-rising. So the Constitution certainly gives the president wide latitude in using the power of the pardon, but part of the checks and balances of American democracy is that, you know, the president, although he can usurp the role of a judge in a trial, surely there is a limit to that, and surely the president is himself not literally above the law. And so this concept of pardon being within the scope of the authority of the president, I think, is a good conversation for Americans to have, but certainly for Christians to be having. Our founding fathers fought for sort of the reversal of the order of two Latin words, rex lex, where the king was the law, to here, lex rex, where the law is king and no one is above it. And so I think that when we talk about God's sovereignty and we talk about God's ultimate authority, everyone, including presidents, are subject to God. And so I think that we talk about the rule of law and we talk about the individual position that the president has, which is certainly unique, but even he is not above the law. And certainly when it comes to ultimate things, he's not above the need to be pardoned by God.
Yeah. you know, I think sort of closely related to the word pardon, or I guess a cousin at least, would be apology, because there is that. And, of course, there's been some discussion, too, about what is an apology. And a former president got sort of caught up in that. And I know even, you know, Fox News had to make an apology. I mean, there's lots of times when apologies aren't really apologies.
There are times when apologies are not apologies, and when public figures make it abundantly clear that they don't even understand the depth of the need for an apology. I did appreciate this week that Fox News was so quick and so thorough to take full responsibility and apologize publicly for the mistake that they made. They used a picture of Philadelphia Eagles players who were kneeling in prayer, but they used that picture as a part of a conversation when the president disinvited the Eagles to the White House. And part of the justification for that was, you know, across the NFL, some players have been kneeling during the national anthem in protest of police brutality against black men. And so that's not why these particular Eagles players were kneeling in the photograph that was taken of them. They were actually kneeling in prayer. And so I appreciated that Fox News was very quick to make a very public and very thorough apology on that subject. But it does give us an opportunity to talk about kneeling and why we would kneel and when we would kneel and what kneeling has to do with prayer and the posture of it. So I think that even this gives Christians an opportunity to enter into the conversations of the day, use what the media provides to us in order that we can talk about stuff.
Well, you know, speaking of media, in this case, it was a video, and I've been looking again at Neil Postman's book, you know, Amusing Yourselves to Death, and he reminds us and others, too, that video is not reality. And we're living in a world where video, you know, whether they're, you know, the home camera, you know, pictures taken of some, you know, police, something that happened that shouldn't have, or whatever it is, I mean, that that's only a part of the frame, isn't it? How do we adjust to this world where video is becoming determining reality, it seems?
So I think we've actually reached a kind of, I try not to be scared by stuff, like, right? But I will tell you that the ability to insert your face into a video and show you doing something that you certainly never did in a place you never were with people you have never met, and that showing up on social media, or the ability to take existing video and cut it down or splice it together in such a way that the truth is no longer discernible. And I think that's what you're talking about. I do think we have reached the place where it's very, very difficult to know who to believe. And so I think that as people who are people of the truth, the way and the truth and the life, the Jesus people in the world, we have to be fierce defenders of the truth when we know it. We have to be people who tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, recognizing that we need God's help to do that. And I think that when we know that something is not true, we also need to be people who point that out. I just think we have arrived at that point in time where telling the truth has become maybe more important than ever.
Speaking of telling the truth, we're going to talk about telling the truth and the game of golf coming up in a moment as we talk with Carmen LaBerge. She's a regular guest with us each Friday morning. Of course, you hear at noon Central, 1 Eastern every day, Connecting Faith with Carmen LaBerge right here on Faith Radio. And we'll talk more in a moment. Talking with Carmen LaBerge today here on Faith Radio Mornings as we talk over some of the news of the day and some of the issues of concern. There's a story out of Sioux Falls recently about a young golfer who told the truth, and it cost her and her team. Review the story with us.
So her name is Kate. One of the ways that I talked about this on Connecting Faith was to sort of challenge people. You know, could you, no matter what state you live in, could you right now name the reigning senior high school student who's a female who holds your state's championship in golf. I feel confident nobody could do that. Like, I mean, the parent of the child could do it, but nobody else could do that. Like, nobody's keeping track of these things. But now we all know the name of Kate Winja, and she is a senior on the golf team at Sioux Falls Christian in South Dakota. And they won, she won the Class A state golf meet by several strokes on Tuesday, and that catapulted her team, her school, also to victory. They won the state golf meet as well. Well, until Kate realized that she had written a 4 instead of a 5 on the closing hole, and she had signed her card. And in golf, if you sign an inaccurate card, you are disqualified. And that's it. And so even though she'd won by several strokes, and even though it was, you know, an inadvertent error, and even though it was certainly not something that she had done intentionally, and she was the only one who knew it. This is the other part, Neil. They were ready to award the trophies. Like, this was not something that someone else discovered. This was something that she discovered. And she then went to her coach and confessed, I mean, essentially, knowing that she would be disqualified. And she and the coach then went and told the tournament officials, who worked very diligently to try to still give her the award. They tried to figure out a way around it. But in golf, the rules are the rules. And truth actually does matter. And one of the things that you're learning in golf is genuinely a respect for the game and respect for the rules. And so I do think this is a great example of a young Christian who was more committed to the truth than she was to the trophy. And we have got to be that way. We have got to be more committed to the truth than we are to the trophies.
Well, that's a line that we'll have to write down. That might be tweetable if we were into social media. we got just a couple minutes left. I noticed Miss America pageant no longer judging contestants based on their outward appearance.
Okay, so this is a little bit crazy to me. The Miss America pageant is no longer a pageant. It started out 97 years ago, actually, as a bathing suit pageant. And so it's no longer a pageant at all. It's now a contest. So that would be the first thing for people to know. But it's no longer going to be judged based on outward appearance. In fact, Gretchen Carlson, who is now the president of the Miss America organization, said they're going to judge women by their soul. Now, okay, so Neil, just you and me just talking here about things. How are they going to do that?
That is excellent. Well, based on some of the judges' questions that they ask and the answers that have been given, it's hard to know what will be determining who wins.
Well, so I just want people to imagine for a moment, like, how we're going to arrive at a Miss America based on the quality, the character qualities of her heart. Like, I love that. That's a great idea. But you and I both know biblically, God's the only one who can do that. And so I do think it's important. It's really important to celebrate, to note that women are no longer going to be required to parade around in the equivalent of their underwear and high heels in front of an international televised audience at a casino in Atlantic City, which is where this thing is held. So let's applaud, as Christians, let's applaud this cultural advancement. However, let's not be so naive as to think that we are suddenly going to be able to identify the young woman in America who has the best heart, who is the most soulish person. And how would you judge the goodness of the soul? God can do that, but I don't think we can.
Yeah. I did read just the other day someone wondering about why we only choose 2 candidates for president, but it takes 50 to pick a Miss America, thinking that maybe we could change that around a little bit.
Like in California.
Sure, maybe so. All right, we've got just a minute or so left. You get to celebrate another birthday, which, of course, is a gift of God. And any thoughts about maybe just the spiritual implications on a birthday?
Well, I think that we tend to make a lot of birthdays here, and I'm not intending to make a whole lot of my birthday. I celebrate my mom on my birthday. I figure she's actually the one that deserves sure. all of the celebration and credit. But I think that for Christians, one of the things that we can really celebrate together are our rebirth days. And so I would encourage people to, you know, identify a date on the calendar. It doesn't even have to be exactly the right one. Like if you can't remember the day upon which you, you know, came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, pick a day close to it. So I actually just do it on my regular birthday, because for me, that rebirth day is sometime in early June, in the year that I turned 16. And so, so I just encourage people, like, celebrate your rebirth day, celebrate the new life that you have in Jesus Christ, celebrate it with the people, who have been important in your journey of faith, and do it publicly, like, make it something that you do with other people so that it can become a testimony.
And probably have a little bit of cake, too.
Cake is good.
Sure, cake is good. Carmen, always good to talk with you. Have a great day, and we'll be listening for you at noon today, Central, on Connecting Faith.
Thanks, Neil. Have a great day.
28 past the hour. Faith Radio Morning's underway. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. And a little bit later this hour, Greg Laurie talking about Harvest America. Exactly 31 past the hour here on a Friday morning. It's Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio. And coming up in a few minutes, you want to stay tuned as we hear from Greg Laurie making some weekend plans. Hopefully you can find time to watch and participate in Harvest America and invite a friend. That's what Greg's passion is all about. And that passion, I think, will get shared in the moments ahead. So stay tuned for that. We'll take a quick news break and be back with more. Now, speaking of giving hope, coming up in just a moment, you'll hear Greg Laurie. Had a chance to talk with him just the other day about the Harvest America event going on this weekend in Texas, but it's available online all around the globe, and thousands will be participating. Hope you will as well. Stay tuned for more on that in a moment. It's June, wedding month. Been talking a little bit about weddings and marriage, and some thoughts from Amy Groeschel today. She reminds us that having disagreements is part of marriage, but says that couples will come through those clashes better if they fight fairly.
Fighting fair. What that really means is I'm not going to fight to win, and Craig's not going to fight to win, because it's not about our pride. We have to get our pride out of the way. In so many relationships and marriages, we fight dirty because we are fighting to win. And if you don't learn to fight fair, where the goal in mind is to seek resolution, to be a peacemaker in this, and to see that both of us come out stronger in our marriage. And I really think the only way we can do that is through humbling ourselves, because as a wife, I feel like I'm always right. But then over 23 years of marriage, I've realized that I've actually mostly been wrong, and my pride is always in the way. And so we're going to fight in marriage. All marriages are going to have their struggles, and it's the marriages that learn to fight fair and not dirty that can really survive it.
Amy Groeschel, wife of Craig Groeschel, on Faith Radio here a while back, talking about keeping the vow of marriage. And you can go to myfaithradio.com and search for vow and marriage and hear that whole interview and be encouraged. All right, some important conversation coming up in a moment with Greg Laurie. Stay tuned. Faith Radio Mornings continues in a minute.
If we remain true to ourselves, sincere about what we believe, isn't that enough? Isn't that all we should really expect? I'm afraid not. This is Jim Garlow. Our culture would have us believe it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, true to yourself. When we say so piously, be true to yourself, what exactly does that mean, especially in today's culture of so-called tolerance? Was Hitler true to himself? Is a serial killer true to himself? Is a sex molester true to himself? It's not about being true to yourself. No, there's a much higher calling, a much higher standard, God's standard. It's a way of being true to God's way, true in your obedience to Him, true in what He says in His Word. Sincerity is never enough. It's truly inadequate. You can be sincerely wrong. There's more at jimgarlow.com. Live out your faith today.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about a significant event and one that you want to be a part of and invite your friends. Greg Laurie is with us here on the morning show. Greg's senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship, and he's been holding Harvest Crusades since the early 90s, I think, and has Harvest America coming this weekend, June 10th, in Arlington, Texas. And we're going to talk about it with Greg. Greg, of course, we hear you on A New Beginning every day on Faith Radio, and we'd love chatting with you. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Hey, Neil, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the Harvest America. You've done this for a few years, and I guess I'm curious, who comes to an event like Harvest America?
Well, Neil, a lot of Christians come, but here's the key. They come with non-believers in tow. We found that 85% of those that attend one of our events were brought by a friend. So what I really like to emphasize is, you know, think of someone you know that's not a Christian yet. And maybe you think, well, I'd like to take them to our church, but I'm not sure if they would understand our church service exactly. Well, this event that we're doing called Harvest America that you can either come to in person in Texas or you can be a part of as a host site is really designed from stem to stern, from beginning to end, for a non-believer. I present a gospel that is so simple. It's not simplistic, but it's simple. And so simple a child can understand it, but the key is, Neil, is when I speak, I effectively preach for a decision. I'm presenting the claims of Christ, his promises, and what it means to be a Christian, and how to become a Christian, and I lead him in a prayer. And so I kind of do the heavy lifting, but what I need my Christian friends to do is get those non-believers within earshot or eye shot of this event so they can be exposed to the life-changing message of the gospel.
Greg, you mentioned you make it clear, but there is some confusion today, isn't it, about what does it mean to be a Christian? And of course, we have many who think, well, because I live in America, I must be a Christian.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no question. The Bible's very clear on this topic. Jesus summed it up perfectly when he said you must be born again. And that means to be born from above. There needs to be a spiritual birth. We're not born Christians. We have to be born again to be Christians. We're born sinners, and we act out that sin early on in life. One of the first words, you know, a child will learn is mine. You know, we're just pre-wired to be self-oriented. But the good news is though we're separated from God by our sin, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in our place. So we have to admit we're a sinner, because good works will never get you to heaven, because even if you were a good person, relatively speaking, you would never be good enough. But the good news is, despite your sin, Christ died for you. And if you'll turn from that sin and believe in him, you can be forgiven. So there has to be a moment where you ask Christ to come into your life and be your Savior and Lord. Someone else can't do that for you. You have to do it yourself. And the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
I think we wonder sometimes, maybe those of us that have been Christian for a long time say, well, you know, Billy Graham did crusades back in the day, but are, you know, are big stadium events still effective? Is that really the best way to share the faith?
Well, I don't know if it's the best way, but it's a great way. I mean, I'm all for every way of sharing your faith, one-on-one evangelism, stadium evangelism, church evangelism, you name it. I'm for it. The main thing is that we get out there and share the gospel. You know, back in the old days, there was a guy named D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist. He was the Billy Graham of his day. And when Moody died, people said, well, that's the end of that kind of evangelism. Then along came Billy Sunday. And he preached for many years, and then when he died, people said, well, that's the end of that kind of crusade evangelism. Then along came Billy Graham. And now that Billy's gone to heaven, people are saying it again. But here's the thing. Unless the Bible has changed since I read it last, the primary way that God wants to reach people is through the verbal articulation of the gospel. So I don't think that open evangelism, or what I like to call proclamation evangelism, is ever going to go out of style. I mean, it's different today than I'm sure the way Moody did it, or Sunday, or even Billy, because we're using all the latest tech, and we, you know, we have video enhancement, and we have great music and lights and all that stuff. But that's not what saves a person. When it's all said and done, it's the verbal articulation of the gospel. So I'm going to get up there and I'm going to deliver that message and give people an opportunity to ask Christ to come into their life.
Speaking of that, just the other day on A New Beginning, I was listening to the program, and you were talking about that very thing, that, you know, it's not enough just simply to let our light shine, that we do need to verbally communicate the good news, don't we?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. You know, Jesus did not say, go into all the world and be a good example. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not to say you should not be a good example, because, in fact, being a good example earns you the right to share the gospel. But if you're only a good example and you don't talk about your faith, if you don't articulate your faith, you're not doing what Jesus told you to do. Now, we don't want to go out and articulate our faith and be a bad example. So the best scenario is earn the right to talk to people through the life you live, but then you need to get down to the bottom line, which is, let me tell you about Jesus. Now, someone listening right now might say, well, I don't know if I'm really called to do that. Well, listen, how about if you get a person to Harvest America, or better yet, invite them to your home, have a Harvest America viewing party, and then there'll be great music, and it's designed to really speak to these people, and then when I give the gospel afterwards, you get to do the follow-up. So really, your job, your mission, should you decide to accept it, cue Mission Impossible theme song, is to get a person there to hear the gospel. You can do it in your house. You can do it in your church sanctuary. Just go to harvestamerica.com to find out more about how you do it.
Because there is, obviously, there'll be thousands in the stadium, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, but there is the simulcast, which happens Sunday evening, June 10th at 6 p.m. So people can, they need to register for that, right?
Yeah. And the only reason for that is we want to help them. You know, we also want to hear from them. Afterwards, we want you to tell us how it went. Now, someone listening might say, well, you know, I don't know if this really works. Well, it does work, because we did it 2 years ago at AT&T Stadium, and 250,000 people around the United States participated in a host site somewhere, and that's in addition to the 100,000 that were there in the arena or in the stadium. And of the 250,000 that watched it on a screen of some kind somewhere, listen, Neil, 25,000 of them prayed and received Christ. Look, God's word does not return void. If it's on radio, if it's on television, if it's on a webcast, there's power in the gospel. So just pray about being a host site. And, man, imagine having people in your front room accepting Christ. Trust me, this can happen, and it can happen this Sunday. That's when it's happening, this Sunday. So go to harvestamerica.com to find out how you can be a part of this.
We're going to talk more with Greg Laurie in just a moment, talking about Harvest America here on Faith Radio Morning. Greg Laurie is my guest today. Of course, Harvest America is a great outreach. You hear Greg daily on A New Beginning here on Faith Radio as well. Greg, on A New Beginning not long ago in the series about the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time, and about telling someone.
Right.
And you told, related the story about one of the first times as a new believer when you shared your faith, and it didn't go well, but I so appreciate you telling that story, because it just reminded us that, you know, you certainly have a gift, but even so, God used you in that young woman's life. Kind of review that story for us, would you?
Well, yeah, you know, I was a brand new believer, like 2 weeks old in my faith, and the pastor told us to go out and share the gospel, and so I did it. I was armed with a copy of the Four Spiritual Laws. Is that the story you're referring to? Yeah, so this is a little, I hadn't even memorized the contents yet. So I saw an older woman about the age of my mom sitting on the beach here in California, and so I thought maybe she'll be nice to me. You know, I was just a kid. I was 17. So I walked up to her. My voice was shaking, like, you know, what happens when you're nervous. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, you know, can I talk to you about God? And she said, sure. So I sat down and literally read through this booklet. I hadn't even memorized it. I read through the booklet. And as I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, this is not going to work. why am I even doing this? This is so stupid. But I just pressed on, and I would look up at her periodically, and she was just listening. Then I got to the end of the booklet, and there was a little question there. Is there any good reason why you should not accept Jesus Christ right now? So I asked her, well, is there any good reason why you should not accept Jesus Christ right now? And she said, no. I said, no. Then I thought, well, wait, does that mean yes? I said, do you mean you want to ask Jesus into your life? And she said, yes, I do. Well, I was terrified because I hadn't planned on success. So I told her to bow her head and close her eyes because I saw the pastor do that. So she has her eyes closed. And I'm frantically searching this booklet for what do you do if they say yes? And I found a prayer in the end, and I led her in this prayer. And even as I was leading her in the prayer, I was thinking to myself, this isn't going to work. But yet when we were done praying, she opened her eyes and she said, something just happened to me. And I said, wow. And, you know, something just happened to me too. And, I mean, here's my point. I had a thimbleful, if that, of theological knowledge. I knew nothing, but I just took a little step of faith and shared the gospel. I suggest to folks that are listening right now, if you've been a Christian for a few years, you know a whole lot more than you think you know. And you maybe just haven't put it to the test. And I think we way overcomplicate evangelism. And we're afraid we won't have all the answers. You don't need to have all the answers. You just need to be available. Because God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And if you don't know the answer to a question, just say so. It's okay. But go back to what you do know. And you know what Christ has done for you. So, you know, start an evangelistic conversation today. I'm telling you, God can not only use you to plant seeds, God can use you to lead others to Jesus.
Well, I think, too, Greg, honestly, that you know sometimes we get way too casual about the gospel and the reality of the lost, don't we? And, I mean, just we have the cure.
Yes. Well, I would look at it this way. Let's say that you're a doctor. I have friends who are doctors, and I've talked to them, and I've asked them, is the hardest thing you do having to tell a person they're terminally ill? And they said, absolutely. But a doctor has to be responsible and do what's right. And hopefully maybe if the person, their patient, has cancer, they'll tell them they have cancer. I don't think any doctor wants to say that to a patient. But then they'll give them a course of treatment. Here's what we can do. Here's a surgery that can be performed. Here's something else you can do. So we have to give people the bad news before they'll appreciate the good news. And here's the bottom line. The bad news is we're all separated from God by sin. The bad news is the wages of sin are death. The bad news is, and if we really believe the Bible, if a person rejects Christ, they will live forever separated from him in hell. We don't want that to happen. That's where the good news comes in. So we tell them Christ died for them. Christ paid the price for their sin. Christ will forgive them of their sin. That's why they must believe in Jesus. So listen, there needs to be an urgency in sharing this message because, frankly, our message is even more important than the cure for cancer. I pray we find that cure one day, but this is the cure for eternal death, the gospel. And as you quoted already, that statement, I'll re-quote it again, the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Yeah. So let's redouble our efforts to get the gospel to people. And if you get them in your house this coming Sunday and go to our website, Harvest America, and become a host site, I think you'll be surprised at what God can do. And, you know, you can send the link out to friends. You can tweet a link out to Harvest America. You can do it live on your Facebook page. You know, there's a little item you can click there, and you can go live to Harvest America on your Facebook page. Use your platform as a platform for the gospel.
Greg, before we let you go, is there one specific thing that we could pray for you and for the Harvest America event coming up Sunday night?
Thank you very much for asking that. Yes, I just, you know, pray for the Lord's protection and for the Lord's guidance and for the Lord's blessing on what we're about to do. I can tell you, Neil, that the devil hates evangelism, and he throws everything at us and at me when these events are coming. And I really appreciate it when my Christian brothers and sisters remember me in prayer. This isn't an easy thing to do, but it is I'm privileged to do it, and I love to do it. But it's a spiritual battle. So please remember us all in prayer, and I would thank you in advance for that.
Greg Laurie, pastor of a Harvest Christian Fellowship, and the Harvest America event is coming up Sunday night in Arlington, Texas. And go to harvestamerica.com for more information, details, sign up, and begin to pray. Greg, thank you. God bless you. Looking forward to hearing the report from this weekend.
Neil, thank you for having me on your show.
Again, harvestamerica.com is the website. I encourage you to look at the link, find ways that you can spread the news, and certainly thanks for praying for Greg. You can listen for A New Beginning at 10 Central this morning here on Faith Radio. Well, coming up in a moment, we'll wrap up Hour 1 and talk about what's ahead. Thanks for tuning in this morning to Faith Radio Mornings here, wrapping up the week. Looking forward to a great hour ahead. Trevin Wax blogs at the Gospel Coalition, and he's written a wonderful book called This Is Our Time, Everyday Myths in Light of the Gospel. And plenty of myths out there. We'll do a little discerning of that here in the hour ahead, as well as Chris Martin. Chris Martin's the Millennial Evangelical, and he will join us next hour as well as we talk about what's going on with the millennials. And, of course, there'll be a lot of conversation about technology. New Pew Research published a study on how teenagers use technology. Not surprising, they do. We'll find out more about that with Chris Martin next hour on the Early Morning Late Show, as well as talking with Trevin Wax in just a few minutes. We'll get an update on the news momentarily. President Trump traveling to Canada today for the G7 Economic Summit. Find out about that as we take a news break here in just a moment.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.